But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Friends, the word of the Lord. This is not a flattering depiction of the life of faith for the disciples. The friends of Jesus. The question arises of that inner circle, the 12, the apostles. Where are they? Well, those of us who have read the scripture story, who worship perhaps last Sunday or the years before on Palm Sunday, we know how it began. We understand how the story transpires. The disciples, the friends of Jesus, are the very ones that at best would deny him and at worst betrayed him. Where are they? Their absence is more than symbolic here in Luke's writing. It's significant to their life of faith and their response to tragedy. You know, the scriptures oftentimes we see the women as the ones who saved the day. We were talking in Sunday school this morning, and Tristan talked about a documentary she saw just yesterday where Mary Magdalene is shown as one of the most faithful followers of Jesus. They were there, it tells us in our scripture. But you know, even that, even the women in our passage today, if we look closely, there was doubt in their mind. In some ways, it's more than just symbolism that we see that they too had lost hope. You see what our scripture tells us? It says that they went to the tomb on the first day of the week. Why? Because they had the spices to anoint the dead body. It was over. The next thing to do, the most loving thing they do, at least the women got that part right, correct? The men weren't even there to be found, but at least the women still cared in love to anoint the body and love the family. But even they, it seems, had lost hope. He's no longer here. The scripture tells us that when the men, the angels, appeared, the women, they couldn't figure it out. They didn't understand. They needed explanation too. Remember, they said, what he told you in Galilee. Yes. And then we find the disciples again. When they hear the story, they still don't believe. Oh my. So familiar to my story. And maybe yours at times. Even when we hear it, and perhaps even see it, it's still hard in here to believe it. The disciples heard. And the scripture says they still didn't believe. It's Easter.
It's the time of year and the journey in our life where we try to understand more fully the resurrection. Isn't that a complicated word? The resurrection of our Lord, what it means to us, or perhaps more importantly, what we mean to Him. You know, when I think of Easter and the unflattering moment of the disciples there, I think back to the first Easter sermon that I preached as an ordained minister. I've shared some of you this story about I was pastoring in Rogersville, Alabama, and there was a salty little lady in our church there named Miss Pauline. I'll tell you how old Miss Pauline is by telling you a story. She said as she lived there right on old Highway 72 in Rogersville, Alabama, she said, "Jody, I've been living here since this road was sand, not even gravel. And the dogs used to sleep in the road." That was old Highway 17. She'd been around a while, right? Highway 72, rather. As I sat with Miss Pauline and reflected on Easter and that first sermon that I was anxious about preaching, the Super Bowl of Sundays, I noticed in the gawkiness and unorganization of Miss Pauline's den a ragged-looking lamp over in her corner. It was ugly. Didn't match anything in her home. The lampshade was dingy and mildewed. The lamp was kind of bright and sorrowful looking at the same time. Kind of went along with the other stuff in her home. And she caught me looking at her lamp. She asked me, she said, "Oh, I see you've noticed my lamp." I tried to make up and said, "Yeah, Miss Pauline, that's a nice lamp you have there. Do you think I could take that home with me?" She said, "Oh, no, that's a special lamp." She laughed a bit and said, "You know, that lamp was once a vase, and I received it as a gift. A friend of mine gave it to me on my birthday. And when she presented it to me, it was in a box, and it had been broken half in two. It had this big gash all the way down the middle, and my husband put it back together." She said, "I bet you wouldn't know it once been broken." "Oh, I didn't notice that." She said, "Yes, my husband took that vase and he glued it. He picked up the pieces and he put it back together, but she said he did something else too. She said, you know, he was a genius. He was an engineer. He could build anything. He took that vase that had been broken and he put it back together, and he didn't stop there. He transformed that vase into the beautiful lamp that you see today." She said, "Oh, I know it's been scraped up a little bit and it's got some gashes and scars where it's been put back together. But the scars and the scrapes, Jody, we just ignore those." She taught me a little bit about Easter before I preached about Easter. See, friends, the story of the Easter message for us is the tragedy. The tragedy, like my friend Pauline, who had her vase broken. The body of our Lord was broken and bruised and scarred. And on Easter, it was put back together. It was transformed. It became like that lamp, a symbol of light and love for us and all who look upon it and turn to Him. The scars, Pauline said, should be ignored. But you know what I read this morning? Maybe some of you read it in our daily bread. In our daily bread, I heard the story where Philip Yancey told. He told about the scars at the crucifixion. You remember that passage? And Yancey reflected upon the beaten body of Jesus this way. He said, you know, I'm grateful that as Scripture records it, that Jesus, when He came back, the scars were still there. In the resurrected body. As He exited the tomb, His body still had the scars. Yancey, unlike my friend Pauline, says that we shouldn't ignore the scars, but we should never forget the scars. The scars of Jesus, who transformed the tragedy of the cross into the triumph of the open tomb. But you know, I think about the scars in another way as well. I think of the scars in my own life. Not just those that Jesus endured on the cross, but the scars of my own brokenness, like that vase of Pauline's. God came to me, looking beyond my brokenness and putting me back together, using me as a symbol of light and love in a world filled with darkness. You see, friends, I'm grateful that the passage of Scripture that we read today is not flattering as it depicts the role of the disciples. We hear in this Scripture of their clumsiness, of their brokenness, of their denial, of their betrayal. We hear in many ways in their story, in God's claiming of them once more, our story. You know, yesterday we did some yard work around the house, Manya and I, and some of you will remember about this time last year, I spoke of us doing some pruning of the bushes around our home. And I was given the task by Manya to cut down some weeds. And like most men, when I get into weed whacking, I get pretty aggressive. And my skill at surveying the difference between weeds and flowers is not always pristine. In the midst of my whacking, I whacked down Manya's Carolina jasmine that had been growing up the side of our awning. Big mistake. A few days it wilted. Few weeks it was gone, never to be heard from again, a tragedy. Until yesterday, we were on our patio, pruning the flower beds, and Manya said, look over on the wicker. Look at the, is that my Carolina jasmine? Has it come back? And yes, it had. See, friends, I'm grateful for this passage today, because the disciples got it wrong. But through the glory of the empty tomb, Jesus made them right. Last year, I got it wrong. I was scarred. I was broken. I destroyed the Carolina jasmine. But through God's grace, He gave new life and restoration. What I broke, what I cut down, God put back together and shined in beauty once more. I'm grateful that this passage for the disciples is not flattering. Because friends, for me so often in life's journey, my story hasn't been flattering either. But even when I get it wrong, Easter reminds me that through God's grace, I am set right and made anew. How about you? Amen.